Thank you, Caroline. Today I'm going to be reading Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 to 19 from the NIV. Then the herald proudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. May God teach us from his word this morning. And we're so happy today, as Pastor JP is away, to have Ron Pegg is going to be sharing and preaching with us. Welcome, Ron, and we look forward to hearing what God has you share with us today.
Good morning. There's nothing, no greater privilege in the entire world than the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I stand here this morning, just over 67 years ago from the first time that I had the privilege of preaching, I'm as excited this morning, if not more excited this morning, than I was that first day. And I'm just as nervous as I was that first day, too. So thank you. Last week, when we were giving praise, I should have mentioned our grandson, Nicholas, whom many of you have been praying for some time. And Nicholas has finished his chemo. In fact, they cut out 2 or 3 sessions that he would have because his blood work was so good. So we thank you. He still has to go through tests and so forth, but everything is looking very, very positive. So please continue to pray for our little guy. This morning we have at the back of the church, and many of you have already got them, copies of my most recent book. I've written 11 books altogether, and my last book is Faith is the Victory. And My wife and I are giving these books to our church, and you are the church. So if you haven't got a copy, please get a copy of that book. People are helping to give them to you. And if you already have a copy and you'd like to have a copy to give to one of your children or two of your children or your neighbor, please take extra with you. There are also copies back there of Here's Mrs. A. And that doesn't mean much to many people, but it should, because Kate Akin is famous for her cookbooks. She had 8 of them. And I imagine there's more than one lady here today who still has Kate Akin's cookbook, in fact, may even use it. And this is her story. She grew up in my hometown in Beaton, and there's a few copies of that back there. And if you'd like to have a copy of it, it's her story. And she's much more than a cook. She was on the radio, both CBC and CFRB, for over 25 years. And she was actually the spokeswoman for the women in rural Ontario during that time. My wife and I both went through the similar experience. Kate came on CFRB on Saturday morning, or every morning except Saturday morning, on the radio. And when Mrs. A came on the radio, we both received the same instructions. Our mothers didn't know each other, but they both knew Kate Akin. And the instructions we got was we had to be quiet. We had to be quiet while Kate Akin was, in fact, doing her broadcast. So please feel free to pick up one of these books as well. And there's a couple copies, 2 or 3 copies of my book, Giant Amongst Giants, which is about Ernest Manning. And Ernest Manning, in my opinion, is the greatest Canadian to have ever lived. By far the greatest Canadian. He was the premier of Alberta for 25 years. The Maclean's magazine in the 1950s wrote an article and said, "The man who never loses." And Mr. Manning spoke strongly in the terms that he said that no legislation should ever be passed which is contrary to Scripture. And if you don't know who Ernest is, we're not talking about Preston, we're talking about Ernest. And he was also the pastor of Canada's National Bible Broadcast, which in the 1950s had over 2 million listeners. Even today, you can hear him on the radio, more on the internet, as the broadcast continues, and once a month, they do one of Mr. Manning's books. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you, we praise you for the privilege of being here in your house. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit may take complete control of this service, as we believe he already has, but that he will continue to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. A little boy came home from Sunday school, and his mother said to him, "What was the Sunday school lesson about today?" And the little guy said, "Well, it was about building." "About building? What do you mean?" "Well, it was about my shack, your shack, and a bungalow." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very close friends of Daniel, and they went through similar experience to Daniel. They'd been captivated out of their homeland and taken to the land of King Nebuchadnezzar. And like Daniel, they were found to be very fine young men who had leadership qualities, and King Nebuchadnezzar gave them a position, and then positions increased and increased. Now, when that type of thing happens, there's also some jealousy of the people who are there at home, and these foreigners shouldn't be accepted. But so when King Nebuchadnezzar passed a decree, he built an idol of gold 6 feet high. And when the decree was that when all the musics, the different music sounds were made, people were to bow down, get down on their knees, and worship this golden idol. So these group of people who were full of jealousy informed the king. He said, you know, the three Jewish lads that you've been promoting, well, they aren't bowing down. And King Nebuchadnezzar called the three of them onto himself, and he said, I understand you're not bowing down to worship the golden idol. And he was a little bit upset. As if we were in similar circumstances of Nebuchadnezzar and didn't have faith in Jesus, we could be in the same position. He was upset because he didn't understand that the reason that these three young men were not bowing down was because of the God they served. And when he said, but if you will bow down now, then we won't throw you into the fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O king, we love you, but our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from that fire, able to deliver us from that fire. But if he chooses not to deliver us from that fire, we are not prepared to bow down and worship your golden idol. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar became completely furious when these three young guys whom he'd given special privileges to and special jobs, he was just completely furious, and he ordered the fire built up seven times as high as it was. And in fact, some of the guys who helped throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they died. And Meshach, and Abednego, the three of them, were bound tight and thrown in there. But a little later, the king looked in. And he said to the guys, didn't we just throw three men in there? He says, I see four. And they're dancing on the fire. And he said, the fourth has got the likes of the Son of God. And so he went closer to the fire, and he ordered the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come forward. And their clothes didn't even smell of smoke when they came out. And Nebuchadnezzar said, from here on in, we need to worship your God, because nobody can do what your God has done here as your God has done. And so he decreed that the God Jehovah would be their God, and that's who they would pray to. Now, a number of years ago, quite a number of years ago, I was coaching a hockey team. I was the assistant coach of the hockey team. And we were playing in a tournament in Richmond Hill. It was AAA hockey. And the coaching boxes were set up where I was right beside the coach from the other team. Like, boxes shouldn't be set up that way to start with. That's just asking for trouble. Well, anyways, as the game started, the gentleman who was coaching on the other side, he was using Christ's name in vain, continuously. And after this had gone on for 5 minutes or so, I said, sir, I would really appreciate if you wouldn't take Jesus' name in vain. He is the Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm not sure whether the man turned and looked at me or not, or just stared straight ahead, but he said, if you can't stand the pressure, get out of the box. Well, that was the end of the conversation. The hockey game went along. And with about 5 minutes to go, there was a big skirmish on the ice. And as a result of the skirmish, this coach was thrown out of the game. So he was gone. So when the game ended, he wasn't there. I was there. And I don't know whether he ever would think about it, but I wasn't responsible for that at all. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were responsible for the fact that he was gone. And by the way, we won the hockey game. In 1972, my mother was found to have very severe breast cancer. She had had lumps and she never told anybody, and she just got worse and worse, and she went to the hospital and she had major surgery. And she came back to the hospital in Alliston, and we happened to know the head nurse there at that time, and she said to us, "I have never seen such a bad case of cancer in my life, and certainly not for a long, long time." She said, "You know, it's just, your mother's just full of the cancer." And early in the fall, towards the middle of November, I went to visit my mom at the hospital, which is what I usually did when down Sunday. We were living in Flesherton, of course. And as I approached the door, I could hear my mother hollering. And she was saying, "I wish to die, I want to die, I want to die." She was in such great pain. And I went in and I took my mother's hand and I said, "You know, Mom, you and I are both people who believe in prayer greatly, but we've never prayed for you. I think we need to have a prayer for you." And so I took Mom's hand and I prayed for her that she was God's little girl, and she always had been God's little girl. Always, always, always extremely faithful. Not perfect, but extremely faithful. And I just prayed that God would touch his little girl. And when we finished praying, mother being a mother, she quoted, and I believe it's James 3:18, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Anyways, I never ever heard my mother after that crying out in pain. In fact, she began to put on weight. And as the winter came to a conclusion, she came home. She was also suffering from cataracts. Both of her eyes were full cataracts, and she couldn't really see anything. So I made arrangements for an appointment down in Brampton for to see a specialist about her eyes, and we went down there, and the specialist said, "No question, those are ready to be operated on, but we do not operate on terminal cases. We do not operate on terminal cases." And Mom was classified as a terminal case. Well, Mother had an appointment with her specialist in Toronto a couple of weeks after that, and I took Mother down to that, and the lady doctor said, "They might just as well operate because nothing is happening here. Nothing's happening here." So we went back to the other specialist again, and we set up an appointment for her eyes to be fixed with cataract operation. And the cataract operations took place in the early fall. And Mother, that Christmas, for the first time, saw two of her grandchildren, one being our second child. And she was certainly not suffering anything from this cancer. And it was a couple of years later, I had to go back to the hospital with Mom because she was going to go and live in the manor in Beaton. And the clerk in the hospital said to me, she said, "That woman is a miracle." I didn't say that. The person in the hospital said, "That woman is a miracle." Mom passed away a little later, but it was from a massive heart attack. And to the best of our knowledge, the cancer never did anything more with her. Yeah. God's a giver of miracles today, as he always has been. And when we call upon him, He answers. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. When I was in high school and I was in grade 12, I decided to run for the executive of the student council. And there were four positions, which were the executive, president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. And there were seven of us who were running for those four positions. And the way it was the first person became president, et cetera, et cetera. And after you got by the fourth one, nobody, well, you're just losers. And so we had, the vote took place, and in our home room, our grade 12 home room, I got the most votes. But in the whole school, I got the least votes. I was 7 out of 7th. And I remember so well that a couple of my brother's friends said to him, he said, "We wouldn't vote for your brother, because if we voted for your brother, he would want to have Sunday school every day." Anyways, we moved on to grade 13 the next year. And one of the men, guys who had been on the council, he asked me if I would run. And I said, "I would run if you'd be my campaign manager." Long story short, I became president of the student council. I finished first. And then because I spent so much time doing that, like many people who were in grade 13, it took me 2 years. I had to go back for the other year. And I was reelected as the president of the student council. So God's with us all the time. And today, we face the situation of being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Are we prepared to stand up and be counted for Jesus? We usually aren't facing the tough situations, the great situations. We're usually not facing those situations that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sometimes it's just a matter we don't want to be criticized. But we need today, in fact, I believe that the greatest weakness in the Christian community today is the fact that Christians do not stand up. You know, if somebody else wants to do something, well, fine, but we don't have to follow along. We don't have to laugh at jokes which are sort of a little bit crude. And that list is just beginning. We have individual choices to make, but the greatest challenge that we have today, the very greatest challenge that we have today, is to stand up to be counted as followers of Jesus Christ. And people will pick it out, just as the same as the other kids picked out. I didn't walk around the high school waving a Bible or anything like that, but I do know that I often went to school dances and I'd end up talking to people about the gospel. But it's a matter of, we need to be complete followers of Jesus. We need to serve him. That there's no question that he's Lord and Savior of my life. And just the same as he took that man out of the coach's box, he's there for you. He's there for you all the time. He loves you all the time. So my challenge to each of you today is for you to indeed stand up for Jesus. And please do that, to the glory of God, but also to the glory of your own self. We'll ask the praise team to come back, and then Michelle will come and close the service.